On a previous local news program, talking with historian Bob Rusch, we talked about the McGifford loader. Let's find out how that works.
Here is the problem that had to be solved. Picture a single railroad track. In other words, you don't have two tracks, you only have one track. You have a locomotive that has pulled the device to the site. You also then have a bunch of empty flat cars.
Yeah.
Okay? They need to be loaded. So what they did is they would put the McGifford loader just behind the locomotive. Flat cars would then be behind the McGifford loader. The question is, how do you then get those flat cars to the front of the loader? Here was the ingenious invention. It has mechanical arms that come down, and the loader lifts itself higher so that the cars can be pulled on the track to the front.
No kidding.
I know most people are not going to believe me. I just invite you to go to Duluth and look at the McGifford loader. Or, by the way, we have at the collection of the Riblick Historical Society, which is our collection is totally online. So anyone can go to www.riblickhistory.com. Go to the collection called Document and Photos. But here is my big tip for the day. I ask everyone to remember this. If you just go to that far, you're going to get lost because there's over 10,000 photos. So go one step further. Go to the index, I-N-D-E-X. Type in loader or log loader or whatever you want to search. The index will give you the accession number, which is a 5-digit number that you then use to locate the photograph itself. My point is that we have lots of photographs regarding the McGifford loader because they were used between 1906 and 1948. So there are lots of photographs.
Everybody knows that it was white pine throughout the area that was the premium that the loggers were after.
Correct.
But that's not necessarily so here in Taylor County. Is that what they were doing on Wood Lake?
White pine, by the way, I had the very good fortune several years ago speaking to a retired state forester whose name presently escapes me, but who, when he began his career, came to Taylor County in 1948. And I asked this man what was his estimate as to how much of the original volume of the virgin forest in Taylor County was white pine, and he estimated about 5%. 5% in volume. Now, these were impressive trees. These were eye-catching trees. These were huge trees, up to 5 feet in diameter, up to 150 feet tall, and they were much coveted. And it took roughly 20 years for all of those to be cut. The first railroad reached Taylor County in 1874. Almost immediately, mills were established at Stetsonville, at Medford, at Whittlesey, then called, by the way, I have a Charlestown, by the way, Chelsea and Westboro. And those mills cut exclusively white pine because that was the tree you could easily sell.
And yet that was only 5% of the trees in Taylor County?
That's right. So, and that also happened at the area on Wood Lake. Now, at Wood Lake, by the way, the railroad did not reach Wood Lake until after the turn of the century. So what I have discovered by reading back issues of the newspapers is that a local logger by the name Carl Hinz created a dam on Wood Lake. And this is called a splash dam. Pine logs float beautifully. And so the usual way to get them to a sawmill was to float them. And, for example, Silver Creek through Westboro had log drives all the time, taking their logs to the Jump River, then down the Chippewa River to mills at Chippewa Falls and Eau Claire. I know the logs at my grandparents' farm in Whittlesey actually went to Winona and Clinton, Iowa.
Down the Mississippi?
On the Mississippi.
Okay, so you talk about Silver Creek and some of these other creeks. They're looking at them now. There's not enough water there to float one tree, much less a big pine tree.
And that's the reason you created a temporary dam. I think you're aware of the question about the reconstruction of the dam the county has at Camp 8. Originally, that was a splash dam. The splash dam means a temporary dam that creates this splash of water, this one big gush of water. And that was the way the pine logs were floated from Wood Lake.
We will rejoin historian Robert Brush on another local news program as we find out in our history what happened when the white pine ran out.